Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. And we open. Dear Lord, we thank you again for another day above ground, another day on this side of the dirt, another day, even by your grace and mercy, we have been allowed to be the man who has been clothed with our right mind, as a mother say. Thank you for a little bit of so large expense. Thank you, dear Lord, for all good things going on. Thank you for your daughters and Jesus, daughter, because we may have the right to the tree of life. And no, many of us, you may not be their God. And with that, we have Harold Weston Jr., who was
Dr. Stanley. I'm on
tonight.
Board.
And Dusty, calm down, okay? You know, you Latin, calm down. I mean, I can see the boy, and nothing other than my co-host, Destino Baby Lewis. Harold, how you feeling, baby?
Yes. Harold Weston, my dear man, where you been? You abandoned us. Where you been?
No, he hasn't abandoned us. This show, we're going to read the legendary Scottish sportscaster, Dr. Amy Stanley, hosts his renowned radio show, Sports in Depth. Harold Weston Jr. is the featured guest of the former MSG welterweight champion and legendary matchmaker of Madison Square Garden is back in the fight game. The first and only African-American matchmaker in MSG history talks about the sweet science. His new venue, Mayweather and his Pacquiao, his good friend Joe Frazier, his late mentors, Gil Clancy and his dad, Harold Weston Sr., and whatever else comes to mind or asked by the doctor during his 45 minutes with one of the sport's best minds, vocal voices, straight shooters, and respected practitioners of the sweet science. And
Harold Weston, I have to give you a compliment. I got to interject. I'm watching a documentary on Hector Macho Camacho in all his fights in Madison Square Garden. One of the announcers, I know his face, I forget his face, he says, man, these are great matches. You got to give kudos to Harold Weston.
I called him suicide match. You know, Harold Weston, and we talked about this earlier today when Harold called me, and I remember about Harold Weston. You know, and that's the great thing about African-Americans and Latins. You know, we open our doors to everybody. You know, we don't see color as we see talent. I remember Miles Davis talked about, you know, if an alligator could play a saxophone, it didn't matter for the band. And I remember Harold Weston Jr. I will never forget this as long as I live. And among the many things about Harold, the one that I walked in with my daughter and he handed me, you know, $20. I said, hey, give my girl a pair of shoes. I don't care if he's green, white, blue or yellow, can he fight? I remember coming up because, I mean, at that time, I owned Madison Square Garden. I mean, Harold loved me, Condon loved me. I could walk into the office. People thought I probably worked there, was probably a champion fighter. But, you know, and I remember that. Harold, you are back on the scene.
Yeah, I'm back on the scene. I got with some, with a good group of a couple of guys that the son is a member of the Sumo tribe down here in Florida, and he called me up, and so he asked me to come down and see, can I help him? He's been trying to be a boxer. And then
he stopped boxing.
Huh?
What weight was he?
I mean, no great boxer. I mean, he had a couple of pro fights. He had about four or five. Yeah. I mean, nothing, you know, just wanted to do it. And he's a young man. He's only 28 years old. And so he wanted, you know, after a while, they wouldn't move him or give him fights around here. So he became a promoter. But then he got promoter license, but nobody would teach him the promotion business.
And Hal, let's stop it. This is what you have long said. This is, I remember you and Condon, I'm talking 20 years ago, Condon went down to the gym at Gleason's, and he said there was a guy teaching the guy how to throw a jab up in the air, and he said, you know, who throws a jab up in the air? This is what you've long said, and Dusty has concluded with this. Guys in this business who don't have a clue, and it's the blind Harold leading the blind.
Yeah, that's what's happening in the game, and that's the sad part about it, because what the people are hearing today and what they're seen today, they think that's what's good, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's like a joke. And so me and this young man got together, and him and his partner, and all of a sudden, they thought they knew something about boxing, and the first thing I said, y'all don't know nothing. Nothing.
Hey,
okay.
Dusty, you know, one thing about how the straight shooter, hey, give me my $5.
$5, I'm going. You don't know nothing.
Well, I mean, I remember the great Larry Hardy, the greatest African sportscaster in American radio, and he said, you know, the thing about how Mark Breland was brutally honest, and this is the thing about Harold. I mean, you know, you, and this is what you said, and mentioning your mentor, your dad, Gil Clancy, and your father, how was he? You know, if a guy couldn't fight, Gil said, you know, son, this is not the business you should be in. Am I right, Hal?
Right. It's
not for you.
And what I'm going to do here for the next few minutes, I'm taking a chance here, because, you know, anytime I let Dusty roll, there's knives being thrown. Then next thing I know, my guests, even though they're you know, African-American, they're speaking Spanish back to Dusty with code words. You know, I'm hesitant here. But Hal, I know you. Ladies and gentlemen, my host for this show, and for the next few minutes, I'm going to let him run with it. Two practitioners of the sweet science who did it at their best, two guys who know this game. The doctor is pulling back for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, Hal Weston Jr., and he will be now interrogated by none other than Destino Baby Lewis. Two guys who know this sport, talking about this sport. Hal Weston Jr. is our feature. Dusty, you've got him for the next dissect him. Do your one-on-one, Dusty. Do it, baby. Go with it, Dusty.
I'm going to do like a surgeon. Dusty,
use a scalpel, not a knife, baby.
Scalpel? Oh, no, I'm from the ghetto. I use one of these rusty blades.
Ah! Dusty, please, pour some alcohol on it. Just a minute. Doc Kennedy goes up on the Blake Rainbow Soul Sports Network, the show. Harold Weston Jr. is our featured. Destino Baby Lewis, and because of this, we've got Harold Weston Jr. and we're going to, for the next few minutes, I'm going to let Dusty go one-on-one with him like he does with his writing. And after this break, Destino Baby Lewis, Harold Weston Jr., one-on-one, the doctor will be back. But, Dusty, you're going to have him all to yourself for a few minutes there.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Ding, 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 ding. In this court, the former MSG welterweight champion of the world, first ever and only African-American matchmaker history of Madison Square Garden, ladies and gentlemen, Harold Weston Jr., and dissecting him, former Golden Glove champion from the Bronx, Lieutenant Fireman, 9/11 hero, Destino Baby Lewis. Gentlemen, come out swinging. Ding, ding, ding. You got it, Dusty. Next 5 minutes,
Harold,
is yours, baby.
Harold, first of all, congratulations on your hookup with the guys in Florida, and I'm still laughing at you guys don't know nothing. What is it that you hope to bring to the table to these guys to make it a success in Florida? What part of Florida is it anyway, bud?
Well, right now, Dust, I'm in Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, Hollywood, Florida, okay.
Yeah, I'm down at the Hard Rock Casino here in Florida.
Oh, okay, all right.
And so, you know, the thing is that how it's going to be done, Dusty, I couldn't tell you guys a long time ago, but what I had created is the fact that we know there is no bridge for any of these fighters or trainers or managers to go over, and they need a platform to do this. Okay, what does this create is the fact that we got one of the biggest platforms in the world, and there is no promoter in the world that lives today or has ever had their own venue where they can promote boxing. Okay,
every
promoter has to rent out the venue. This young man and the tribal people, they have venues all over the country. So basically, we have the platform for fighters now that they can come and fight. They don't have to be signed up to us. They don't have to sell tickets. They don't have to go through that. They can just use their skills and just be able to fight. Because I'm going to put them in a fight. And I can tell you this right now, Dusty, if Manny Pacquiao fought for me, believe me, he have a 50-50 shot that he might not win the fight. Okay, that's how sick. Because I know one thing about putting fighters in fights. If a guy's got a good record or a bad record, I will put you in a fight that the fight is going to be interesting and people are going to enjoy themselves. And that's what people are missing out on. And promoters today are just trying to fill themselves up with the cash without giving the people their luxury of seeing entertainment, which they should be seeing with their hard-earned money. And this is what the Panther Promotion, which the company I'm working with, is doing. We're going to show talent in fights. And, you know, what amazes me, Dust, is this, right? I go to some fights and tickets are $250.
Mel Smith Jr. has joined. Rooney, did you join us now?
A pleasure, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay. Okay, what we've got here, Harold Wesson Jr., we've got Harold for the next 45 minutes. You know, he wasn't on with us tonight. Harold was back into his venue. I'm letting you and Dusty have him for the next. I'm really in trouble now, you and Dusty, for the next few minutes.
You know, it's funny you should have Harold on now, Doc. I was just watching. Dust, a pleasure as always, and Harold, always an honor. You know, Harold, it's funny that we should have you on now. I was just watching a Harold Fest over the weekend. Whoa, your greatest rumbles, Quavers and Tommy, and, you know, hey, Dust, I don't want to get off the subject. I know how I was explaining about, you know, putting guys in exciting fights, but I just have to say this. Harold, you weren't only a puncher, a boxer puncher, but you were slick, Harold. Your style was very slick, man. I watched you frame by frame.
Slick.
Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot.
No, really, man. You know, I was trying to talk with my friend and a former schoolmate, Juan Laporte. And I once said something about feeling a guy out, and he jumped on me right away and said, you never feel anybody out about anything. If you see you can take the dude right away, you take him and be through it. No feeling out. I saw your style again, Howard, and you didn't really feel guys out per se, but you kind of bided your time to see what guys were throwing before you jumped on them. Very slick, very slick.
Well, you know, I had that confidence in myself, so I really didn't worry about a lot of guys. I just went in there and did what I had to do, and then whatever comes about it is just going to come about it. But I knew where I was at in my time of boxing. But you got to understand, I came through at the early 60s and 50s, the late 50s, but when I saw those guys back then, them days, which you guys, you know, Dust, you would know a lot about that, but those guys were so slick, they would scare you to death of the fact that if you really want to be a fighter. I mean, that's how scary. So I went through that era. So when I got into that moment of when I had my time in the 70s, you know, it was a piece of cake from that point on because guys were good, but the guys were just slick back in the other, I mean, very slick. I mean, you know, they were... As they would say, they were real murderers. They were real murderers. They knew how to really hurt you and really take everything out your body. And that was the amazing part about it.
They would take every confidence, everything you thought you knew. You realize you were still in kindergarten, man. That's how
right.
I mean, some of these guys today could not even match up, and with all the respect, to match up to a 4 or 6 round fighter in my day. I remember. I mean, that's my equation. Some of these, but the fact of the matter is, I think, Harry, you started saying about the money. These guys only think about the money. That's basically what it is. So, getting back to what you're doing in Florida is like you're building from the base up. In other words, you're trying to build up a solid foundation. You know, without a basement, you don't have a house or a roof. You know, so you're actually starting with a solid foundation of building up these guys. So.
What I want to say is the fact that, you know, I look at some of these fight shows and everything, especially in New York, and I go there and I see the ticket, $250. And I say, who the heck are we watching for $250? Okay? It doesn't make sense to me, okay?
Exactly.
One thing I have created since I've been here is that we made the tickets a little bit more cheaper. Our highest ticket is only $100. Our middle ticket is $60, and our lowest is $30.
Very fan friendly.
You know, and it's about business. It's about staying steady. It's not just trying to get one big lump sum and trying to pay for your mortgage for that month. It's about trying to do the right thing for the public and doing the right thing for the sport. And what has happened is that these guys who don't know nothing in boxing has destroyed it in a lot of ways. And what has happened was is that Don brought a sort of type of element of a new type of way of promoting that brought has everybody else trying to do it. But that way does not work. That's the reason why I never jumped on board with Don King. But don't get me wrong. Don did some great things for boxing.
He raised
the prices and everything for fights and all that. All that was good. But the real actual thing that he done where he's trying to sign fighters up and keep the fighters at a station that, you know, he can't move nowhere else is a false situation he has done to the game. And so what we're doing here is that we're opening up a platform that anybody can fight on our show. Anybody. But you got to fight somebody. You want to fight somebody that's equal to you, and that's simple as that. You're not going to bring your own opponents. I didn't have managers, promoters call me up, Hal, we'll pay for the fighter. No. You don't pay for nothing. I will pay for it. You fight who I want to fight and everything. I'm going to give you a good incident. One kid I had, a guy brought his fight on, he wouldn't put his fight on the show. His kid is 9-0, 112 pounders. Now listen to this, 112 pounders. I find a guy that's 5-5-1 to fight him. Tough guy, punch like a dog, right? Call the manager up, said, I got this guy. But he said, that sounds good, Hal. We'll fight him. Good. He calls me back 2 days later. He said, Hal, I can't take the fight. I said, why? He said, my fighter don't want to fight the guy. What?
Your fighter?
He boxed him when in amateurs, and when they was in the amateurs together, he said, the guy is tough and he can punch hard. I said, what does that got to do? He lost to 5 other guys. He said, yeah, but his record don't count for what it really is. I said, you going to tell me a guy that weighs 112 pounds, 9-0, he's turning down fights?
That is something, Harold. I mean, 9-0, and he's trying to call a shot. You know something, Harold? What is it about the thing that – what kills me about boxing now, Harold, and thank goodness for people like you who've been in the game, have been great at the game, and kind of know what's exciting and what's not, and not going to allow these guys, like you said, to damn near handpick and bring their own damn opponents, is this. You said the guy is 9-0. You figured you want to put him in slowly but surely with better and better guys so he actually learns how to fight, and this guy is trying to dictate already.
He's dictating already, and he's 112 pounds. That's what hit me. Him being champion don't mean nothing.
Yeah, right.
At 112, he should be glad he's on anybody's card.
Really?
He should be glad he's getting a fight and he's pushing. Now, you know.
Right.
So are you, in turn, having said that about the 9-0 dictating his pattern, well, he wants to fight another. And then God knows, let me interject, God knows if he fought 9 tomato cans, man. And that's probably what he's concerned about. And he doesn't do it because he's 9-0, but he probably fought. You know, like I said, 9 tomato cans, and now he knows this guy from the amateurs, and he's probably afraid of him. But how do you overcome that with building up a stable of talent that when you say, hey, John Doe, you're fighting Jane Doe, and there's no quibble, there's no saying, there's no back talk, so to speak?
You know what? You're off the card. Simple
you're
as
off
that.
The card. Thank you.
You're not fighting. You're not fighting on my show. Simple as that. I mean, I don't have no problem saying that. Because basically, we have so many young men, trainers out there that's not working, haven't been working the last 10 to 15 years. This situation that I am performing is the fact that we will have you fight on my show, and you can get your fight on my show. You just got to fight somebody. You're not just going to fight anybody.
This has long been Harold's credo. I mean, I remember a fight where the mindset was just was Harold's guy. Boom, boom, boom. Guy lost the fight. Harold said, hey, next fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you got to be able to fight. I mean, the only guy that we knew when we put in the ring, he was going to win Hector Camacho. I mean, I feel the way Harold did when Hector was. I feel the way about Harold that I felt about, because you do Ali and Trilogy, the first Ali, Duran at 135, Ray Rogers at welterweight. No matter who you put in against Camacho and those guys, it wasn't about how they was going to beat them. It's how they were going to lose to them. But Harold, I mean, you came into the Garden at a time where, you know, it was getting a little suspect. You brought credibility. You made champions out of guys who the average person would look at. I mean, we're talking Mark Medell, for one. We can never forget what you did with Iron the Blade Barkley. And some guys were unappreciative. But I remember that fight against Van Horn, man. That was the air electricity in the Felt Forum was just as thick as it was Ali Frazier won. I mean, that mm-hmm. was a heck of a fight. You had a guy, the other middleweight, whose dad, Elijah Day. I mean, you know, you were in the Garden at the last vestige of guys who knew how to fight. I told a guy, I've got to talk to last night.
Fighters with credibility. I mean, credibility.
And keeping the sport alive, because you know how, you know, let's be honest, when you left Madison Square Garden, the sport
it was
died.
Over.
Yeah, I told y'all that, Mel. I told you that. I said, when I leave here, this is finished. This the Garden is going to be finished. And everybody used to look. See, guys are like, because I would not tolerate their nonsense, okay? And the fact is that when I did leave, all the Humpty Dumpty good managers, mine, they were glad I was gone because, see, I wasn't going to bend down to how they want things to be done. All right, and so now when I did left, the Garden was finished, and that was the whole thing. It went completely.
Also, the fact that you know, they wanted Mike Tyson to come in there to fight some stiffs and make big money. You said, hey, no. Yeah. If we're going to fight a stiff, we're going to pay him stiff money, right, Harold?
Right, and we said stiff money, but what happened was I told them they had to fight who I want. I had a good guy that was going to fight. Might have beat Mike that night, and they said they went above my head and went to the big boys. I didn't know we had a new administration, new people took it over, but I didn't know what was happening. But when I found out how they were structuring things, and he knew Jim Jacobs and all that, you know, that friendly stuff, then they said, hey,
who's the guy you wanted to fight, Mike?
I forget who it was back then. It was a tough guy from Chicago.
That was the night they put Mike on first because McCrory and Curry were fighting for the welterweight championship. Am I right?
I don't remember the situation.
Mike fought the first fight because they had the undisputed middleweight welterweight championship going on, and Mike knocked another guy. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Also, Sports Depth, the show. Harold Weston is our feature. Two of my there's no better panel than the guys I've got, the Gentle Baby Lewis and Mel Smith. Harold, can we talk somewhat about the impact of you know, your classic passing away not so long ago, your dad before him, the impact that they had on you, not only so much in the ring, but in life in general?
Well, let me just say this. It wouldn't be no Harold Weston without Harold Weston Sr., especially, and Gil Clancy, okay?
Mm.
You're talking about you're talking to me right now, but you're talking about a person that they developed and created. All this knowledge and things that I know in the boxing is from these men and people that have been around with them. And the fact is I don't think no other person, no other boxer has got more knowledge and more people that he met than I have in this business. And I'm talking about from the upper level, not from you know, the situation at where, you know, you meet this one guy. I mean, I have met the cream of the crop of people in this business that have taught me things, have guided me into situations, and I have learned things from this business that no other man could ever learn again. I'm like the last breed of the real situation of this game that really knows the inside and been to the dinner table
with certain people that's been there.
It
was begot, who was handed down the mantle of what was Harold, can we talk to Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, you're at Rainbow Souls, Sports Network for the show? No, we'll probably take another little hit here and come back and talk to him. Well, no, we're not going to take it. Harold, can we talk about, okay, the impact of Gil and impact of, but, you know, your relationship with Joe Frazier, and also the fact that you talked about that Ali Frazier won, where the guard had no idea of the scope and the magnitude of what they had, and you were part of that pre-fight thing where you were Ali and somebody else was Joe. Could you talk about that?
Oh yeah, I mean the whole thing was is that, you know, that showed me another entity of things that has happened in the game, is that the people that's supposed to be the experts and the people that
mm-hmm.
watch,
right.
they did not know about this whole setup of closed circuit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why their first offer was the top offer for Joe Frazier Downey, and this is what the Garden offered him, $750,000 for the fight. Okay, because
wow.
their whole concept was only thinking about the gate. It was never, ever mm. about the whole scope of the world.
Yeah. Right, right.
And so,
so you're telling me all Madison Square Garden was thinking about New York City only?
Yeah. They nobody was never thinking about having this thing watched on in the world. Okay, until Lou Falcigno came up with the idea, but he needed the money to make it. He didn't have the cash, and that's when he went to California, and I forgot who it was that he talked to, and they gave him the money to make the
owner of the Lakers at that time.
Right, the owner of the Lakers, right. And
right.
so that is where it's all at. Hold on a second.
Dr. Sandy Sports and Deb, we'll take a quick break while Hal's taking
Hello.
A break. Come back. The Casino Baby
yeah,
Lost is here.
Right now.
Mel Smith Jr. We got Hal on the line, and it's always an education. It's always an excitement. We'll be right back. Hal, don't move. Don't move. Don't say a word. As Sid Gatting would say, don't move another feather.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. The temple of boxing, as Don King say.
Mind-boggling.
And well, you know what, Dusty and Rooney?
Yeah.
I'll never forget what Ali said after the fight. He said, Joe, we was robbed. And how you
right.
saying, how you're telling me that they could have made more money?
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole thing, nobody ever thought, nobody knew how the show was going to be a telecast. And so when Joe and them signed their lives away into that agreement, which they had every clause in the world into that agreement, right? They couldn't do nothing.
Really?
They were latching to that agreement, bro. I mean, that was the strongest contract in the world.
Exactly.
Okay, Ali even said it. He said, if my kids died on a plane, I could not stop this fight.
Really?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's how serious that situation was. That when they gave Ali and Joe that $2.5 million, believe me, they was latched into that contract. They wasn't going nowhere. They wasn't gonna fight nobody. They wasn't gonna go five. They wasn't going nowhere. They had to do that fight first before they did anything in life again.
They had to hold on,
right?
So Hal just saying no last minute power plays or threatened to pull out at the last minute for a higher purse.
Nothing. Couldn't ask for no more money. Couldn't do nothing.
So then that was a flat rate, despite the fact that the interest, the profits, the profit gains, the
spending
of
you know, Dusty, what you're bringing in here
is
what my friend Steve was telling me. Because the 2.5 was just astronomical. It was $500,000 more than what Ray Robinson had made his whole career. It was more than what Joe had made his whole career. I remember my friend Steve in Brazil told me. He said, you know, Doc, he says, now that you're in Brazil, you are now part of Fortaleza, you know. And you have to understand that, you're sitting here, and maybe you can get this bottle of beer for R$4, which is about $2. Or you can get a meal here for about R$8-9 with $7. But no, you've got to pay what the Brazilian pays. Because now you're Brazilian. You've got to pay what the neighborhood pays. And what you're saying here, Harold, is that they got paid, but they didn't.
Right. Because nobody knew. No, but that was a lot of money. You got to understand, we don't know nothing. When you don't know nothing else, how this thing is going to be done, and you're just looking at something that is one of the highest bid that has ever been done.
Then
you go for it, okay?
Exactly.
But then, when they had that press conference and they asked the guy, the promoter, Lou, said, "Hey, how are you guys going to make your money out of this if you're giving them all the money from the gate and everything?" He said, "We're going to make $30 million out of this deal." That's when Ali jumped up and said, "Joe, we've been robbed." And that was it. But it was nothing they can do. Because
yeah, exactly.
Like I said, they were locked into the contract.
And it was funny how Howard should say that, because at the time, they made a huge deal about at the time it being a record purse for both fighters.
Right.
Record purse,
and they
right.
made
that. It,
it, it,
never been paid
it, it,
that
it
much
was
money.
A record purse. But
it
was at the time. As you look at the over, and accidentally Sports and Depth on the Blake Rainbow Soul Show Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you be in Jamaica or Trinidad or Brazil or East Orange, New Jersey or Buffalo, New York or Seattle, Washington or Russia or Germany, this is why Sports and Depth is what it is. Harold Wesson with an education. Harold Wesson enlightened you to stuff you never heard. The Steniel Baby Lois. You're stabbing me in the back, but okay, I'll take it. But bringing stuff to you that you've never heard before. Mel Smith Jr. with Inside That. You know, I'd say this to you, the world. There's no panel better than my panel. And nobody has educated us in the boxing world from ringside to dressing room to boardroom meetings like Harold Wesson Jr. has. There's always something when you come to the table, Harold, that is just mind-boggling. And it's Dusty always digging and scoping. And I, you know, my panel, you can't beat Destino. You can't beat Gulu Coco. You can't beat Lady A. You can't beat Sea Wings. And, you know, it's just amazing. And that's the scope. And you're learning something every day. And you know, you're right. You know, 2.5 million. I mean, you just told us something, Harold, that was, we knew the quote, Joe, we've been robbed, but now here's, and can you talk about, Harold, through your relationship with Joe Frazier? I remember in the documentary that Joe had, Larry Holmes said something. He said, you know, I love them both. Joe, Ali, anything he need, I'd give it to him in a minute. Joe, I'd give it to him in a second. And the sports writer, who did the Ali biographer, whose name is Casey for a minute, and he said, you know, it's amazing now. He said that, you know, everybody's was, you had a horde of people with Joe, so-called the establishment with Joe when he fought Ali, and yet now, you know, they've kind of backed up Joe. His gym may be closing. Talk about your relationship with Joe Frazier, Harold Wesson. You know, one thing about Joe is he's pretty much like me. He's for real. You know what I'm saying? There's no phoniness about Joe. Joe is straightforward. It's a yes or no. There's no in-between with Joe. And that's what I like about Joe. Joe's a real person. And the thing is that, you know, with me and Joe, as we got more and more, we have been friends for over 20-some, 30 years, okay? And the thing is that we always got along. And Larry said it best. If Joe wanted something, I was there. There's no question about it. If he needed it, I had it, he got it. There's no question about it. Because Joe was just a real person. He didn't jive nothing.
Remember,
he was about being for people.
I remember how a Snowy went today.
Oh yeah,
Snowy
yeah.
went today, but the, and it was a Snowy went today, and because I had a lot of fun with Joe, and we were down there, and you said it, and you said something to me that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. You said, Mel, I'd only do this for Joe, and then you
That's
paused.
Right.
You said only do this for Joe, and you paused. You said, and you. And, you know, you put in the same class with the legend. I'll never forget, Al. You said, Mel, I said, this coach. He said, hey, Mel, I'd only do this for Joe. And he looked at me and he said, and you. And I remember because I talked with Joe. I said, Joe, I said, Ali's the best fighter you ever fought. He said, yeah, he was the best fighter I ever fought. He said, but George beat me up. he said, and he's eating the cookie. Joe can be funny, you know. He said, eating the cookie. He said, Joe, he got mad because I wouldn't stay down. Al. You got to be feeling good. You're back into your environment. At the same time, you're also leaning toward, you know, you were the guy that trademarked that special game. You had to be amazed and not amazed at the people in the business, and yet the people who have no idea what the business is about, Harold.
Well, I'm not amazed. I mean, my thing is that I know that none of them was learning anything anyway. And when I kept seeing certain people on TV that just came out of nowhere, being announcers, being managers, being promoters, it's
right.
like a joke to me. And so my point is I knew they had no knowledge of what they were doing. They were just trying to make a fast buck and trying to get themselves
yeah.
put on TV, and that's about it. But on
yeah.
but the bottom line is that they felt that since Don King can become promoter, and he was not, you know, he didn't go to college, and,
right.
and the fact that he came out of prison, and the fact that, you know, he made as much money as he's done, they figured that they can do it by just coming out of Harvard or coming out of Yale or whatever school they came from,
hey,
and they figured that they know
Jesse,
all the business.
Did,
that's it.
Jesse,
it's true.
Did you get a Harvard
you,
Yale part?
You look at the
did you catch the Harvard
Island.
Yale part, Dusty?
Huh?
Did you catch the Harvard Yale part?
The Harvard, yeah.
I mean, the
right.
Harvard, I mean, is Howard Weston ready for politics or not?
he's a sharp politician. I'm afraid to run against him,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, I mean, the Harvard
You got
deal.
The Luther Bellas, and you got the Bob Arums, and you got
mm-hmm.
two or three other guys that do
right.
have these Harvard educations. Bob Arum told us, Doc, remember he worked for the district attorney's office of the FBI or some crap
mm-hmm.
like that, and then he said his first love was boxing. So he came
mm-hmm.
in with that all that law degree background to build up a boxing empire.
We got 9 minutes left. Harold, how much of this infusion of these people of no intellect, how much is it politics and how much is it racism?
Well, I think you got the mixture of both. I think there
yeah.
is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and the fact is, because I asked a question to a guy one day, and it was a white guy. I said, "Can you imagine if I was white and all the knowledge I know, where would I be today?"
Mm.
He looked at me. I said, "So why would that stop me from being where I should be if I was white or black? Isn't
mm-hmm.
isn't there a problem with that?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." And that's the problem I have with everybody about saying things that they
right.
say. And why I say that is because of the fact that is that it's sad. Because
right.
I have the knowledge that I do, I can't still move because my color is black.
But now there's two lines that should be trademark. A point well taken by Rooney, and your great line, I remember you, was sad and touching.
It is.
You know, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, so if you don't mind,
we got 8 minutes.
I do
we're
have a quick
here. Point. What we're going to do, too, when we get to the 8 minutes, we're definitely going to do sports in depth with the mic on, lights off, so until they cut us off, so we have some more time. Go ahead, Rooney.
Well, Doc, like I said, I want to thank you for what you said about the panel. It's absolutely true. You know, when you have the Costinos and the Howard Westons and the Doc Stanleys and, you know, the rest of our incredible panel at different
you
times.
Too. You got to pat yourself on the back, too.
You know, for the Sports in Depth nation all over the world, it means only one thing. Big things popping, little things stopping. My question to Howard and Dusty, good doctor, was, I just wanted to bounce a couple of names off them right quick and get your opinion.
Go ahead.
The return of
Mayweather?
We had a discussion the other day in which Doc and I agreed, Dusty, obviously we're there, and Howard, I wanted to bounce this off of you too. On any given night, do you agree that Zab Judah, when he's motivated and on his game, can beat anybody in his weight class in the world?
No, he can.
No?
I mean, he can be defeated, yeah. I mean, you know what, I like Jab Judah. I think he's a nice little crafty little boxer and everything, but his big problem is his chin, okay?
Mm.
And if anybody that has any really sting behind their punches, they can stop him or hurt him. And when he gets hit and get hurt, his whole thoughts about what he wants to do in that fight just changes. And so he's not as aggressive as he wants to be. Yeah, so basically, you know, no, I don't think so.
So what you're saying, Al, that he has a talent, but it's lack of chin that causes
yeah,
a problem?
Yeah, you got to understand. I mean, you know, it's the problem what's inside him. I mean, you know, he's a real gutsy little guy and everything.
But when he gets hurt bad,
his whole strategy about fighting the guy that he wants to be aggressive with because he knows that this guy can hurt him and knock him out. And that's the whole thing.
Has his getting together with Pernell Whitaker been advantageous? I mean, Dusty was saying that from the fight he saw, Pernell had him fighting like him and he looked horrible. I mean, everybody that used to be a fighter is not a good teacher or trainer. Am I right, Howard?
Most definitely. Yeah, because you got to understand, the only thing they know and can teach is what they know. And they got limited thoughts about how they used to fight, and that's the only thing they're going to teach them. That's all they're going to teach them. And basically that's why you got the eliminative of trainers that really don't have the knowledge about the sport and knowing the craft of the sport to teach a fighter better way how to fight, because the only thing they can grasp on is what they know, what they did in the ring when they were a fighter or when they fight. They're not willing to expand themselves. One thing about Gil and my father, they didn't have no problem of watching others and learning from others or even letting other trainers come in and say, can I show him this? And do that. They had no problem. They felt that they can learn from anybody that has something that can work for them, and that was the good part about these guys. But they were not threatened by it all.
Harold, you won an MSG title in what year?
What happened, Jimmy? I forget. 70 something. I forget what year.
And the guy you beat for the title, who was it?
Jimmy Hare. I think it was.
Harold, a name that has to, because you're so linked, and I would be remiss as we wind down toward this section, but we're definitely going to do, there's always never enough time with my panel. Wilfred Benitez, you is a colleague, a friend, a practitioner. Your thoughts of Wilfred as you know, he's fallen on some hard times, Al.
Yeah, I love Wilfred Benitez. I mean, he was a good-hearted guy. He's a good world champion. I mean, he wasn't afraid of anybody. I mean, I'm talking about guys that will fight anybody, and I mean that from my heart. I mean, I like guys like that. I mean, Benitez, Vito Antifermo, you know, these are some gutsy guys, you know, Tommy Hearns. I mean, all these guys, they didn't care who you were and didn't care where we go. Believe me.
Hold it right there, Al. Isn't it, Al, am I right, or aren't you the person who had the, aren't you the person, I just want to know, who had the very first, who had the Vito Antifermo's very first defeat?
Yes.
Came out of the military, on military leave. And you know what? I'm tired of sitting around here. Let me go home and beat the number one contender in the world. I'm serving my country. Hey, Captain, can I go for a week? I'll be back. I'm going to fight. You know, I'm going to fight. the first guy to beat the person firm. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, and the Blake Redder, Rainbow Souls, Sports Devil, to show Howard Weston Jr.'s feature. He's down in Florida, back in his venue, putting the fight card together. This is the first. Now, what date is that fight, Hal?
July 9th.
Okay, so we're going to have Hal way back on again. Try to get him with us back to the panel. We'll talk to him way before then. We've got a couple minutes left on this show. We're going to let Dusty and Rooney dissect him again as we go to SportsNet with the mic on and the lights off. Hal, your greatest reflection a moment in the Sweet Science.
Oh, my greatest moment, well, those two greatest moments is the fact that, you know, winning the Golden Gloves, seeing the smile on my father's face, fighting for the world championship, and fighting Hedgman Lewis. And that really established me as a fighter. I mean, y'all don't understand. When you get in with somebody that's just as supposed to be one, he's the smoothest boxer in the world, and able to outbox him. And showing your craft, you know, that was the greatest moment. I didn't never thought of me being good until I fought Hedgman Lewis. And then I'll never forget what you said
Ryan O'Neal told him, he said, he's never seen Hedgman Lewis outbox like that. We got a roll here. We're going to box the sports stuff with the mic on, lights off. Thank you, Lord, for another show. Black Heart's going to close out, but I've got my Dynamite Doodle Batman and Robin to finish off, Harold. Black Stanley Sports up with a Blake Redder, Rainbow Soul, Sports up the show. Lester, Harold, what's the question? We'll be back. And Harold, Black Heart's going to play.
Come on. This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Hey, Lord. Thank you for Sports in Depth with the mic talk, and all praise your holy name. Thank you once again. Gentlemen, he belongs to you. Dusty and Rooney, until they cut us off, Harold Wesson Jr. is in your hands one more time. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth with the Blake, and Sports in Depth with the mic lights off. Gentlemen, Harold Wesson is all yours.
Okay, Harold, with your date already set, is this would there be any television rights? Are you going, or the television or whatever, however you're going to be transmitted on cable is going to be in the future? This is just a preliminary show to see how things work, and then if you branch on.
Well, what's happening is that I tried to make a deal with ESPN and they denied me. They lied
Son
to
of
me.
A bitch.
And then you know, the whole situation was a false of statements they made to
right.
me. And so I was never able to get a date with them. So I always realized I never made a champion or any fighters on ESPN anyway. So basically, I'm not on ESPN, but I do have an internet that I'm setting up to broadcast my show. So we're on the internet. We're going to be on the internet for this show, for the next four or five shows. Under the circumstances, we're doing a great deal of show, a great deal with our show. We already sold like almost 1,400 tickets already, and this is like just a neighborhood thing. 1,400 tickets. We got 4,500 seat arena. We sold 1,400 tickets already. Okay, and we're getting people calling up, people flying in. So you know the excitement of this show is really bringing people to the table, because now they see there's energy back into the sport. There's a bridge that they can go across, and there's a platform they can perform on. And being done, we are just not going to be doing boxing. We're going to be doing MMA. We're going to do Muay Thai, and we're going to do women boxing. And why we with women boxing, we're going to do a whole card where women will have their own show with just women boxing. Because I figure this. We having a women's gonna be in the Olympics next year. Where are those young ladies who wins golds? Where are they gonna go? Where's their platform gonna be for them to show their skills? And what we're doing here, fellas, is that we're creating jobs. Okay, we're putting managers back to work. We're putting trainers back to work. We're letting fighters feed their families and their wives and their girlfriends. Okay, and their kids. And we're doing this and helping people perform and get back into business again. And the fact is we're getting the best people back in business, not the flakes. We're talking about the best trainers that can now be their own man and train their own fighters and manage their own fighters instead of just always, you know, we're not fighting again. Well, you're fighting Souls. You're fighting Johnny Bozo next time, okay? I mean, we're not having that. When you come to us, you're going to have a fight. We're paying for the fight, and we're going to have enjoyment. Our thing is that our company is going to be working on several different levels. We're going to have taking a dollar off each ticket. We have a charity that we're going to be helping out other charities with. Okay, we're going to have a raffle after each show because when the people finish the fight's over, we're going to pick from the tickets that everybody came in with. Okay, and whoever seats that we pick is going to win. The first prize is going to be $100. Second prize is going to be $250. The next one will be $500. Okay, that's our raffle for that evening. We're going to have celebrities there. We're inviting a lot of celebrities to the show that's going to be at our show. Our show is going to be red carpet. We're going to have class to our show. Like I said, our first show is with Joe Frazier and him celebrating him and Ali's 40th fight of the year and everything. So Joe is going to be here for that. We're having a big turnout for him and everything. So we're really drawing some attention to it. And we're drawing attention because we're doing things that the other promoters are not doing. Trying to save the sport that needs to be saved and the sport that needs the better fighters to come into the sport. And that's what's happening. And one thing about it is that, hey, these guys out there, promoters and everything else, one thing I can say, I can make champions. Done it, did that. You know, it's no big thing. But the kids, now I can say you have a platform to where you can show your talent if you really want to be a fighter.
You know, Dusty, I mean, Howard, it's funny that you should kind of mention that. And, Dusty, I know you will chime in on this also. You know, it's funny before when you, you know, when you talk about fighters who don't want to risk their Ando record, whether they are 9-0, 12-0, don't want to risk any possibility of losing Ando. It's funny, you know, I once was at a press conference, and then walks Mustafa Hamshaw. So we get into a conversation about boxing. Yeah, Mustafa, yeah, that's a blast from the past. Mustafa walks in, and, you know, we're talking about boxing. And so I say, you know, Mustafa, you think guys are getting title shots too early? You think they have a chance to learn their craft? And he says in that gravelly voice of his gentleman, these guys no tough like me, Agla.
No, and that's the sad part about it. And that's going to come, you know, with us putting as many shows. Right now we're doing once-a-month show, but starting in 2012, we're going to be running once-a-week boxing, okay?
Once-a-week boxing.
And, yeah, so we're going to be doing that on a steady basis. So basically, we got a bigger platform than Madison Square Garden. We're going to take over the field where Madison Square Garden left off.
Right,
and we're going
to
we got that platform that fighters can fight and show their performance. And the fact is that, let me just say this to you, this thing is going to be so big, and we're going to bring boxing back to his level again, that we'll be able to do 4 and 5 shows in one day in different locations around the world. And you know what the other thing? Nobody can stop it.
Right.
You know what I love about Howard? I know that you're an original, but I'm still going to have to give you this tag, and it comes from the late, great Don Chargin. Howard, War a week, Howard. That's what you're going to be promoting out there, War a Week.
Yeah, it will be, and people will enjoy it. And you know what? And people will be able to feed, the fighters will be able to feed their families, and people will be having jobs. You know what this creates? This creates more ushers, more tickets, people taking tickets, all right? It'll be creating cab drivers driving people back and forth from airports. This creates more jobs in the sense of where. And at the same time, fellas, where we put our shows at, you can have fun. You can get away. You can take your girlfriend out. You can go to dinner. You can go go to a show. You can come to the boxing show. All this in one little place, okay? Not like when we did at Madison Square Garden. You went there, you saw the show, and you went home. This, you still can stay there and have a good time, gamble. And if you want to do it, you can stay overnight.
That's cool. But, you know, being that you have this mapped out, the plan, the playbook, the whole nine yards, are you concerned in the back of your mind with the jealousies and the envies and the cutthroats? No, really, because let me tell you, this is a cutthroat business, man. Let me tell you, these dogs are dogs, and I'm insulting the canine world when I say dogs are dogs.
Yeah.
And they see that Harold Wesson is a success and is moving and drawing away from their pockets, you know, that they will be that you have to watch yourself out now for these guys trying to cut you, you know.
I'm not going to worry about them. I never worried about them, you know what I'm saying? Because one thing about me is just like when I was fighting, I didn't worry about who I fight. I did what I wanted to do, okay?
Exactly.
I watched them all weekend, and I was not lollygagging. I watched them all weekend, Dustin.
Yeah.
I watched the outfits, and he said, he didn't give a damn. I mean, I mean, he's going to be storming in the ring. Staring, I mean, I'm watching staring down Tommy Hearns.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make no difference to me. I mean, I'm gonna do what's right for the people and the people of boxing.
Right.
Okay, I don't care about those few people out there that's out there promoting. They're gonna hate me and like, but you know what? They still don't know nothing. They don't know nothing about the boxing. They don't know about how to make a fighter, how to build a fighter, and make a man as we should be a man in the sport.
Yeah.
My point is that they're the least people I'm worried about. The people I'm worried about, the ones that don't have. And the ones that don't have is people like ourselves that's not in the middle of, that should be in the middle of this whole thing, but it's not. But the fact is we're going to bring it to the surface again because, you know what, the people are always going to overcome, all right?
Yeah,
and this is what we're doing because we got so many guys that is not working, unemployed because of the system that's been there. And we're getting ready to tear that situation down. And that's what's happening right now.
And you know something, I want to say, I really do mean this, and I'm not blowing smoke out. I really want to thank you for that, because before I got into wrestling and also before I became a member of the media, I was one of those guys, man, who would work 10, 12 hours a day and spend his little change, you know, his little 50, 75 bucks, whatever the case may is, you know, to go see a good fight. And, you know, I would appreciate, you know, good workmen who gave me, you know, my dollars worth, man. Instead of, you know, instead of some boring fight card where I feel ripped off. You know, I work my little 10, 12 hours a day, spend my little change, hoping, you know, to see some people with some talent, to see somebody show me some effort. So I'm glad that Harold been a former, you know, a former great champion who knows the game and who knows, you know, how to give a person, you know, the effort for their dollar, not rip them off. So we really appreciate that as a member of the media and as a fan.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. See, that's the catalyst here. You're talking to a guy who's been in, not a dude who's come out from outside trying to get in. He's been in. And he knows the hooks and crannies and the things that have to be done to set up. Harold, what will be your initial fight card? 8 bouts, 7 bouts, 10 bouts,
well,
whatever.
I try to make it at least 7 bouts a card, you know, show whatever I can make it, but no less than 6 bouts, you know, six bouts card.
And different weight classifications.
Definitely. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I know that the matches are equal and they're going to be good fights and everything, that's all I look for. And as long as I can get that, I'm very satisfied of the performance of the show.
Yeah, a good quality show, and they'll leave the people hungry to come back the following week or something for another show. Man, this was a damn good show.
And we're not charging a mint of money for you to come. Like I said, our highest ticket is $101. You know, the next one is $61, and the next one is $31. And the reason why there's that one at the end, because I told you, the dollar off each ticket, we put into our charity, and we're going to donate, and the name of our charity is Helping Others. And the thing is that's what we're going to be doing, and we're going to be doing a lot of things on top of helping this sport and getting this sport back on its feet again.
Right.
Because it's been a shame for the last 20-something years, 25 years, this sport has been sinking ever since, and it's gone down to the low now.
Who's that sinking at that? We're talking about Tyson?
You know,
the sport has been going down, and I agree with Harold, because even though I'm a fanatic who will see flies fight, but it is
you have
going
seen
down
him
because
you
of
have
the
seen
talent,
flies fight.
The
you,
money.
You have seen him fight.
And it's true. Now he hopes to build up quality, and talking about quality, I wanted to interject now your thoughts, Harold, because we covered it to death yesterday on the upcoming Mayweather-Vicious Ortiz fight, Amir Khan against Zab Judah, and Klitschko against David
Yeah, I'm here.
I heard some music there.
I was putting a little Miles Davis in the background. You know, Miles and Art Russ Jr. introduced Harold to Miles Davis. And
the great author George Russ Jr.
What would be your feelings or opinion on these three so-called matches and despite, you know, and the stuff that's been discussed in terms of why
real quick, people were talking about Ortiz and Mayweather. How your thoughts on that one?
My thing is, I think it's a decent fight. Ortiz deserved his shot. I mean, you know, he beat a guy that everybody thought he was going to lose to, and then Mayweather is there to, you know, he ain't fought in about 2 years now, so it's probably a good opportunity for this young man. And he might draw, if he gets lucky, he could probably put upset. Because, you know, you can't keep coming in a ring in and out every 2 years and fighting like that. You get older, the rust, the sharpness is not there. And, you know, he's been having his problems on personal problems. So all that can add up for him for defeat.
And everybody's talking about the fact that it's a slam dunk victory for Mayweather. I don't see it that way. I don't see Victor Ortiz walking around, walking off with a slam dunk victory, but I don't see Floyd Mayweather having
a picture. I think, you know, you said that, and Harold just kind of confirmed your thoughts. We just want to get cut us off. Now, we want to ask him, what other fights did you think about, Dusty, you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, Amir Khan with Zab Judah.
Like I said, that's an interesting fight because, like I said, Khan can punch, okay?
Yeah.
And one thing about it, if Jab is going to be very, very much leery about running in there with this guy, and if he nails him and he hits Jab a couple of times, it's going to be a different fight. It's going to be in his favor.
Well, you know something, I told Doc the other day, if Zab is on his game and can dig down deep and have that one more great fight with Khan, you pretty much know what you're going to get with Khan. I know Doc's going to laugh again because he says, I always say this, that could have fight of the year written all over it.
Hey, that's another one you got to trademark. Dusty, what's the other fight we want to talk about?
Klitschko and David Haye. They just had a one-on-one the other day, and they almost came to blows, man.
Yeah, I saw that. I think he's going to punish Haye.
Yeah. And what about, you know, and I told the panel yesterday that it would be difficult for Haye to accomplish what he wants to accomplish because thanks to Emmanuel Stewart, he taught these guys to fight.
Okay, well, let's move to it. Harold, who do you like in that fight? Haye
against
Stewart. I gotta go with the big guy, you know what I'm saying? Because he does have that punch of power. And when he makes up his mind about really trying to hurt somebody, he's sharp.
And yeah, and he really doesn't like Harold. He really doesn't.
Yeah, he's a dedicated guy, and he's always in condition. My thing is that Haye is making a lot of noise and everything. I think he's a little on the shaky part, Haye. I got to see when he gets really nailed in this fight. When he gets nailed, then we'll see what happens. If he can take the big punch, and that's going to be the key of it. If he takes the big punch, Haye has got a shot. But if Haye can't take the shot, then he's going to be in trouble. And that's the whole thing, the key to this fight for Haye to be successful. He's got to be able to take the shot because he's going to get nailed.
He's going to get nailed. Right.
Who's the better fight of the two brothers, Harold? Who's the better fighter of the two brothers?
The youngest one is the better.
Yeah,
why?
The better fighter. There's another big fight in the offing, which is not concretized yet. It's still in the offering, and we got into a debate about it yesterday. There's a Mexican billionaire who's offered Manny Pacquiao.
Why is the younger brother better than the older brother, Harold?
Because the younger brother is more crafty. He's got more skills. He's more shifty than the older brother. You know, everybody plays baseball can't hit the baseball like Babe Ruth or our man Bobby Willie Mays and all them. You know what I'm saying? And they might have the talent, but they're just not crafty. Some people are just more gifted with more talent than others, and the younger brother's a little bit more gifted than the older brother.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the Mexican billionaire offered Manny Pacquiao, who's the cash cow with boxing, $75 million guaranteed for him to fight this not up and coming, he's already a world champ, Saul Canelo Alvarez, who just won last week. He's a junior middleweight champ. This kid's 40-0 with something like 17 knockouts. He started fighting at 15.
So you want to know if he wants to win that one, pretends
to be the next Oscar De La Hoya. So
okay, your thoughts on
money.
Pacquiao, who's kid? Who wins that one?
I saw the kid fight the other day too.
Yeah.
Pacquiao beat the dog out of him. First thing, the kid don't have too much head movement. He moves his head a little bit, but he stands too straight up. And he doesn't have the other fact. He's not a big puncher. And the fact is, you got to be some type of punch. Even punches can discourage Manny Pacquiao. And this kid is not all that. I mean, so a $75 million, I will grab it right as soon as I finish with the other guy. I say, let's fight next week. No question.
No question.
Because the kid ain't all that.
Yeah, yeah, Cody, real quick.
I got one quick one, Doc. I got one quick one.
Go ahead, close out. Good.
All right. Howard and Costino, I got a guy returning really quickly that most people have given up on, but I think the kid still has some talent. Your thoughts, please, on the return of Paul Williams.
Harold?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I give Paul another opportunity. I mean, I think he got caught. It just depends on how he reacts to the fact that he got knocked out. I think that if he doesn't react and don't show no sign that he's scared of getting hit again, then he'll be all right. But I think that what has happened to Paul Williams, he needs another trainer to now give him a little bit more skills than what he has. See, guys get fit into a mold, and when they've been winning at that same mold, they think they don't have to learn more, and that's a lie.
They get comfortable, and they don't progress.
Right, and that's what's happened to him. He could be a great fighter, but he didn't progress.
Yeah, my concern is the fact that he may have become a little gun shy, worrying about when he's going to get the first hit, whether his chin can take it. He has images of those ugly photos, man, with his face is smashed on the canvas and he's dropping. He must have nightmares over the thing. But we'll see what happens, man.
Gentlemen, we're near the closing. I want to say real quick as we go through the month of June, once again, happy birthday to Leroy Neiman, who's turned 90 years old. Bobby Goodman, former president of Madison Square Garden. Roberto Duran on the 16th, and my sister the 27th. The lovely Nayada in Fort Deleza. Happy birthday to my father-in-law, Juanito Santiago Perez. My daughter.
Yeah, he says his birthday as well.
Yeah, my daughter, Chastity, and my grandson on the 20th. Memories of my grandfather on the 26th, and my cousin Merle, and also that of Derek Jeter, the 26th. Gentlemen, it has always been a pleasure. We're going to have you back. There's no crew better than my crew. Larry's because what I want to do, I want, before they cut us off, we can do this really on a setup. So, Harold, we're going to have you back. Dusty, you know you'll be back. Also, Rooney. Gentlemen, that great line, the Walt Whitman had, I no doubt deserve my enemies.
You couldn't keep me away.
Yeah. Three thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most assistant, most urgent question is, what are you doing for the service to others? Is it meant you pay for your space on earth? I simply say, on the bottom of my
heart. Gotta go, fellas.
I love you, baby.
Y'all take care.
God bless, Howard. Good luck. Good for
you. This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Is Harold still there?
Yeah.
Okay, Harold's gone. Okay, you still? Yeah.
No,
Harold's gone?
Harold said he has to go.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, what we do, we'll keep talking until they cut us off. No, some interesting facts there. I mean, you know, that I always heard the thing that they know we've been robbed. It's amazing that Madison Garner had no clue about Ali Frazier one.
Look, they were crazy and ignorant like a fox. They knew what the hell they were doing, Doc. Come on. They knew the money, the money potential. That's why they said, let me bamboozle these dudes and throw them $5 million that they never seen before in their lives, and cut it in half and give them parity.
But Harold said no, because Harold said what they did. They even had him and somebody else stage a fight before. I mean, because you know, it's a funny thing too. You know, because closed circuit, it's amazing that they didn't see. Because I mean, if you remember, Dusty, the two Liston Patterson fights were closed circuit, and both of the both of the Patterson Ingmar Johansson fights were closed circuit.
Closed circuit, exactly.
Yeah.
Closed circuit, but there's money in the closed circuit.
But you know what it was? You know what it was too, Dusty? The Garden was always his own separate. The Garden probably didn't even, you know, they saw closed circuit as just big television. Because, I mean, for the longest time, the Garden ruled everything in boxing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, yeah. Rooney, you agree with us on that? Rooney? So Rooney left? Okay,
the closed circuit was the extra money maker, almost like we got the pay-per-view now. And these suckers were.
You know what, that's funny. I thought at one time, I said, wait a minute, man, who's going to pay? Who's going to pay?
Yeah.
To watch TV in their own house. And little did I know that there would be a guy sitting watching two roaches on a four-round fight in Queens.
Battling for the reigning championship of the world.
Hey, the undisputed baddest insect in the world.
That's right.
The undisputed baddest insect in the world.
Baddest insect in the world, man. I'm on top of the roach world, man.
Pound for pound, baby.
That's right. Week for week. But one of my first close circuits was in the Bronx Armory. Guess what? Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard in Montreal. Right. And I have all these folding chairs, man.
You promoted one up there?
No. That was the first closed circuit that I went to.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking the Garden had Ali from the it's funny you said about Duran Leonard because I remember we lost Ronnie, huh? What I remember was Eli Conti said, Hey Stan,
mm-hmm.
I want to see the fight. Brooklyn College is having it and they need some guards.
Exactly.
I said, what? Yeah, he said, so they'll pay us. So I can't beat that. So I went over to me, Uli, my brother and a buddy and a friend of mine, Billy Bang Bang. So we go over there and the guy says, well, hey, here's the shirts. I said, okay. So he said, but your wife can't come in. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, Ray Leonard has people here, and they have every seat counted. I said, well, no problem. We're gone.
Right.
See you later. Okay, it changed. And it really turned out to be great because, you know, we saw the fight, and then we got paid to watch the fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Uli, my brother James and Billy and me and Margie, and it was a great fight, you know, the last...
Right.
One of the last of the black and white jammies, you know, because remember,
right.
Ali Frey was black and white, and then finally
exactly.
they finally started coming on color. But remember, Close Circuit was a monster. The Yankees pulled that game out last night, huh?
They pulled out. They killed the Cubs. the home run city after the seventh inning. Swisher hit a three run home run.
I saw something though that Mario Soriano. Has hit like 300-some home runs since he left the Yankees, man.
Yeah, the man was a home run hitter. I think the Yankees may have made a mistake, but then again, I say no because they got Robinson Cano. But, they moved Soriano to left field. That's what it was.
They could have had a lineup with Soriano, Cano, Jeter, Tex, and A-Rod. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But they moved... Soriano to left field. He didn't like the idea, and that's why when he went to Chicago Cubs, I think Dusty Baker was the manager then.
Yeah.
Chicago. He had a battle with Soriano because Soriano didn't want to play left field. They said, "You play left, or you're off the freaking team." He wanted to play second.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a big to do there, but then when I think Pinella came in, they gave him the hefty $150 million contract.
Contract,
he didn't complain anymore. But he is one of the most prolific ball players in Chicago Cubs.
Well, you know, the thing about it, you know, he was en route. He had 29 home runs, and he was going to become the second infielder ever to do
40-40.
But he didn't get the home run.
He tried and tried to get that 40th home run.
It was the last game of the season.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to come up four times. And had he did it, because A-Rod, to date, is the only infielder to ever do it.
Is it the only guy who's done it. And
he's the only infielder. The first guy was Jose. Barry Bonds has done it. And now, you know, Soriano did do it, but when he did it, he was a left fielder.
And the thing is, what did they say the other day about Barry Bonds? 400 home runs and 400 steals, or something. I mean, there was something written. He's one of the first ones with 400 home runs and 400 steals.
Only one.
But Soriano tried so much to hit that home run, he flubbed and dubbed, struck out, grounded out.
If he
had relaxed, he probably would have been able to do it.
The pressure's on. Mays and Andre Dawson were the only two guys in the history of baseball with over 300 stolen bases and 300 home runs. And then Barry Bonds had passed them with the 400 stolen bases. Good to talk to you. Okay, Dustin, we're going to roll. I'll get back to you. We'll be doing something again because we got a lot of shows that they're looking for. So I'll talk to you later. Thanks a million, baby.
All right. Thanks. Bye.